So, what I see in this is Jesus teaching something about what it is to be radical. But when we hear that word, and perhaps especially so right now as the news continues to pour out of Afghanistan, we see the consequences of violence, of war, and of what a word that you often hear associated with groups like the Taliban is radicalization. You hear that word, and perhaps because of what we know and what we hear in the media, you hear radicalization, and you might think of radical expressions of Islam. And if you remember, it's not or was not only the Taliban in Afghanistan that is a radicalized group. Right? Before or still, when we hear the name Al-Qaeda, many of us, even if we know very little about that region and about Al-Qaeda, we know that there was this group that was a terror group, Al-Qaeda, because it was associated with the now killed Osama bin Laden, who took credit and very gleefully for the September 11th attacks. If you never got a chance to see, he made a video, Osama bin Laden, taking credit and explaining why he felt the September 11th attacks were justified in his mind. And if you didn't know much about Osama bin Laden, he came from a very wealthy family, and he himself helped fund the actions of Al-Qaeda, the training, weaponizing. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to be have basically lead this organization, as he saw it, this group, Al-Qaeda, to fight and resist American, British, Russian, any powers he perceived were imperial powers that kept coming into Afghanistan and causing, disrupting what he felt was a disruption of Afghani culture, an attack in his mind or his words on Islam and in the Muslim community. And so in this video, you might expect that he would mention Islam a lot. But he doesn't. If you look back and you find excerpts from this video or even the transcript of this video, what he constantly references is America as the enemy. And so, interestingly, this is precisely how a lot of boys were radicalized into this group, Al-Qaeda. When they were little, they were sent to madrasas, to schools in regions in Afghanistan. And you would think that they were being taught Islam, but they weren't. They were taught a lot of the content that's very similar to the video that Osama bin Laden produced when he took credit for September 11th and when he gave his justifications for having carried out that attack. So what these boys would learn is portions of the Quran at these schools, these madrasas, portions of the Quran mixed in with these ideas of hatred for the United States. And just like the Bible, the Quran references enemies. And so where there would be, for example, the mention of enemies, when these boys were being taught, they would be told that the enemy was the United States, that the United States wanted to destroy Islam, that the United States was the enemy. And so, from a very young age, many of these young boys were exposed to these ideas that their religiosity, that their faith, that their Islam was completely inseparable from a loathing of the United States. The imperial power who they would see drop leaflets from the sky, from the imperial powers that they would see living in their country, it's too complex to explain all of the history to these young boys. So what they have, right, is just this idea that these people hate them and are there to destroy them and their faith. And they're taught this from when they're small. And while I'm not trying to give a justification, the reality is that these boys probably never have a chance to have another worldview. And so in this way, if you read about this history, if you read about this strategy, you might look back and you might say, this is a form of radicalization. To take a young mind and shape their worldview in precisely a way that nurtures a hatred and an understanding of the world based on, I have these enemies, and this is what I must do to rid the world of them and to survive. Again, not a justification. In fact, a very clever and destructive way to radicalize young children. And what else could you believe if you've never left your small region of the world and these are the only ideas that you've been given? Now, if we go back to our reading in the Gospel of Mark, is this what Jesus is doing? Not exactly. But what's interesting is that those little references, and I can go back for those of you who can see, is these references in our scripture today about the traditions of the people, the traditions of the Jews that are still traditions for our siblings in Judaism. The traditions they observe that things must be holy, that things must be kosher, the washing of cups, the washing of pots, the not mixing of meat with cheese, and all the many kosher laws that go into having things be viewed as very sacred. To following these traditions to honor God. This is what our Jewish siblings still practice. And we must remember that Jesus was Jewish. He was a Jewish rabbi. He knows these traditions well. He practiced these traditions. But here too, he's turning them upside their head. He's critiquing the very traditions that he as a rabbi knows and practices. Totally confusing. Why? Why, Jesus? Why are you being so sacrilegious? I would bet that anyone hearing him at this point, particularly who was Jewish, would think, this is awful. This is sacrilegious. This is radical. This is a radical person who, how dare he come and criticize some of the most foundational traditions that we hold dear, that are prescribed in the Torah, what we hold sacred. Indeed, that is what Jesus is doing. Pretty bold, pretty brazen to cut at what is so meaningful to these people, the very heart. Why would Jesus do that? And he tells us himself, you abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. What he cut to was, okay, you're doing these things. Perhaps if he said, I need to break it down for you all. I can break it down for you nicely. I can say, you know what you're doing is you have forgotten the point of all of this. The point isn't to harm others. The point of these traditions isn't to weaponize them in a way that separates, because that is precisely what was done with these religious laws. And not a criticism of Jews or Judaism, but of these particular people in Jesus's time who were using the law to separate, to otherize, to make one group better than the other, to say, we are holy, we are better. And Jesus cuts to those very traditions and says, essentially, no, you are not. Because in Jesus' economy, meaning what was important to Jesus, what was foundational for him, was radical. It upended everything that was foundational, because it is radical to see an enemy as friend, to imagine ways that that can be transformed, where your enemy can become your friend, at the very least, no longer your enemy. Where systems that are so entrenched and so beloved are unmasked for the ways that they're being used, the way that they are being used, Jesus unmasks them. Jesus cuts to what is so important, not because it's fun for Jesus, not because he just wants to get a rise, but because he says, if your foundation is no longer that which transforms, that which loves, that which heals, then you've defiled all of it. The point wasn't the traditions. The point was to critique the defiling of the traditions. Jesus continues to do that for us today. He gets to the heart of the things that in our lives and in our communal culture that we've clung to so tightly, and things that maybe on the surface we think, hey, that, what's wrong with that? Why is that so bad? And perhaps Jesus would say, you know, actually, I don't think that the tradition is so bad. I think that the fact that you've used it in a way that defiles is what the problem is. Because what we continue to see unfolding in Afghanistan, death upon death, a quagmire, a no-win situation, where we, as an imperial power, have been sending soldiers ripped from their families. And as we saw this week, young soldiers die. They won't return home. Afghani citizens dropping from planes, clinging to what they think will be freedom, who also died in that attack. The choice, and for me, there is no stake in defending our president or in critiquing him. Whatever leader would be, there are no good options. When you as a nation have been sending soldiers for decades to a region where violence begets violence, and for a country like ourselves to cling to nationalism. Perhaps some of you might say, well, what's wrong with nationalism? And as we've talked about before, there is a difference between nationalism and patriotism, mourning the loss of soldiers and what their families now have to carry, and even those who return home, what they all have to carry together. The grief, the trauma, the hurt, just as much as the trauma and the grief and the hurt that remains basically the culture of Afghanistan right now. Jesus comes and says, you are not just a nation. You are a human family. We have a long journey to figuring it out, because we continue to be a people, and not just in our country, that defines ourselves by our borders, by our flags. We define ourselves by the things that separate us. This was one of the sins of the people that Jesus is addressing here, is you're using this to define yourselves over and against the leper, the Gentile, the people that you want to exclude. We are a human family. and the things that we hold dear that continue to separate and give us this illusion that we are separate are the things that Jesus wishes to tell us defile us. Because the things that we hold dear don't just become traditions. They become things that we worship. They become things that divide. They become things that cause harm and violence. The borders that we draw, the physical borders that we create, literally cause death. They nurture violence. They defile the notion of human family. So this day, as we hear this scripture, we hear an invitation from Jesus to be radicalized. And that doesn't mean to be trained up in the same way that young boys were trained up in Al-Qaeda. It means to be trained up in ways that have our minds outside of the traditions of our culture, that help us supersede and think beyond them. It means to imagine that violence can be transformed, to imagine a world where we do not respond to violence with more violence. To be creative and to find ways to turn enemies to friends, to neighbors. That's what it means to be radical, because it so goes against the values, not in our culture, but in our global culture, where we are still fumbling around trying to figure out how not to exploit each other as human beings. How not to just be concerned with being great nations instead of a human family. Because it doesn't matter what politician you hear, they will say that. We're gonna be the best. We're gonna be top dog. We're gonna have the best economy. We're gonna have the best country. We're gonna have the most jobs. We're gonna have the safest, the biggest military. It does not matter. You will hear that. And perhaps that's their job. Perhaps it's their job to make us feel like we're safe and we're taken care of. But to be radical means that we are gonna transcend those ideas, that we're gonna say, how about we look at being a human family? How about everybody is safe? How about everybody has enough to eat? How about everybody has access to healthcare and to the vaccine? How about people who are fleeing famine are welcomed and fed and not seen as some sort of leech on a society, a distortion of what it means to be human family? And I don't sit here and say these things as if I have been perfected and radicalized. I think the scripture is speaking to us prophetically to say, I'm cutting to all the traditions, to all the things that you hold dear, to all the things that you think are gonna keep you safe. And I want you to think beyond them. Be radical as Jesus was. And so for a moment, I invite you to think about what it is to be radical. What is that invitation? What does it mean that Jesus would invite us to be radical and to be radicalized in this time and place where COVID is so common? COVID is part of the global culture right now. Where being in community is not being valued. Where another war is brewing. How can we be radicalized? How can we be radical in a way that Jesus invites us to be radical? So I'm going to quickly put you all in breakout rooms, and you may absolutely hate it. And if you do, then you can tell me. And you don't have to say anything. You can say hi. You can say, this is what I think it means to be radical. You can do whatever you feel called to in those brief moments, and then we'll come back together. And even if you think it's weird, we're gonna be thinking outside the box, and I can always have you tell me I hated that, and we'll just move on and try something else. So this is gonna try this and see how it works, and hope that it does work. And I'm trying to do it. Let me see. Okay, let's see. Okay, I don't know if everyone is back. I don't know what kind of a wild experiment that was. I don't know, I didn't give you a lot of time, but maybe you said hi. I have no idea. Some of you didn't join, which is okay. Probably a surprise to some of you. But as we go from this week, I know sometimes people say to me, sometimes when they hear sermons, they wonder, what do I do with this? And I think sometimes there's not always something we can do with something like a sermon. Sometimes we have to hold something in our heart. Sometimes we can. We can write a letter, we can go to a protest. But sometimes we have to let Jesus cut to some of the things that we hold dear and tell us how they're being used in a way that is harmful, and envision something greater. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy, especially when it's tied to things that are very important. When it's tied to people that we care about. And it doesn't mean we don't care, right? There's a way to criticize war and nationalism while still honoring what it is that our soldiers do and what they sacrifice. Even when they don't die, they sacrifice so much. So let us be invited, and let us accept the invitation to be radicalized, meaning to transform this place and to allow our hearts to be transformed. Even when it's not easy, right? Our psalm said to keep an oath even when it's not easy. May we keep the oath to follow Jesus to wherever he leads us. To wherever he leads us. To the vision of a kingdom of a one human family in this world, a world without violence. May it be so. Amen.